The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Just say, we say, I receive revelation. Say, my eyes are open. Say, the eyes of my understanding is enlightened. Say, I see clearly what God has done in Christ. Hallelujah. God bless you. Welcome three persons by your side and be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. And so we are going to, we've been getting blessed so far. Glory to God. Okay. We are going to start with or continue from where we stopped last week. I called it How to Keep the Devil at Bay. It means how to keep the devil away from you, far from your house. And I said, and I still maintain, that the devil is not omnipresent. Bring it down a little. The devil is not omnipresent. It means the devil is not everywhere. We can keep the devil where we want him to be. You know, most times the ideology we have is that, you know, the devil now is like God. So if you just walk around anywhere, he's there. And I told you it's not true. The devil is not everywhere. Last week we took time to look at what we might call the origin of Satan. How Satan came about. And I told you that God did not create Satan. You remember that? God did not create the devil. God actually created a Lucifer who one thing led to the other. By his interaction with man, he became the devil. You get the point? So, God did not sit down, because we are saying, and we are still insisting, that a good God cannot create a bad devil. Is that very clear? So, God did not create the devil, but then the devil was created, sure. There is a devil, but God didn't create him. Hallelujah. And so, we saw that. I'm not going to go over all that. If you so wish, you can get the tape. But there's something we said last week that I want to repeat again and then flow from there. Where does the devil run his operations? Where? In the hearts of men. The kingdom of God. You know, Jesus was talking one day. He told them, he said, the kingdom of God is within you. And Paul was talking and said, the kingdom of God is not food and drink. The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. So where you find righteousness, where you find peace and joy in the Holy Ghost is in man. Is that correct? So the kingdom of God is not in things, it's in man. That same way, the kingdom of darkness is not in things, it's in people. What you call the kingdom of darkness is in the hearts of men. Satan operates. So whenever you see the activity of Satan anywhere, it should have been a man that allowed such a thing to operate. I want to talk about it. Will be a man that lent his will to the devil. We saw it last week when he talked about. Some of my people normally ask me. I was teaching some that I said Satan is the we rule this earth. And then the guy asked me, said, if we rule this earth, what of the place where the Bible said that Satan is the god of this age? You know that place? And I told him, what did the Bible say? The Bible said the god of this age has blinded the hearts of men. So even the God of this age, as Satan, still functions through the hearts of men. That he gains influence over. I don't get the point. So Satan exerts his dominion and his influence through. So we established that last week. That's a scripture we didn't get to read because we started praying. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll save us 4. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Those days when we're in prayer team, Once they read this verse, it's warfare time. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now lift your voice. Every stronghold in your family is collapsing. But you will just be playing with scriptures not to see that the next verse began to tell us the strongholds that should be pulled down. He said it was casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. All these things are where does imagination take place? In the hearts of men. Where do things exalt themselves above the knowledge of God? In the hearts of men. He said, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So imagination, thoughts, they function in the heart. So these weapons or the warfare we are fighting is actually something that goes on in the heart. Are you getting the point? So someone wrote a book she called The Battlefield of the Mind. Because the battle goes on here. It's in the mind. So Satan exerts his influence in the heart of men. So if you can, if you're going to win, okay, of course we saw last week that devil is defeated, okay, but then we still see his influence all over the place because people allow him gain influence by lending their will to him. And I showed you that was the same thing Adam did. Adam lent his will to the devil. I didn't get a point. That's why W. Kenyon will tell you that the sin Adam committed is a sin of treason. He lent his authority to the devil. So even till today, for the devil to function in your family, you have to willingly give him your authority. Do you get it now? You have to give him your authority and allow him. You have to permit the devil to run his parole in your life. Amen. So now I'm talking. So when we are talking of winning the devil or keeping the devil away from you, before you think of binding him, the battle has to be won here first. Do you get the point? That's why a man of God once said, and he kept stuck to my head, satanic programming is stronger than satanic power. Do you get the point? When you are there is a programming that will be here. Every other prayer you're praying, you've lost. Think of someone, I was talking about it last week, we'll get to it today. Think of someone that has been programmed to believe that there's an ancestral curse in his or her family. Every December, they will invite one man of God, that is always December, when everybody will come back. So come and pray. When they're done praying, it will happen again. It's not the power of Satan at work. It is his influence in their hearts. You get me? He has filled their hearts with, so he has programmed their hearts to think in a particular direction. So they should pray from now till tomorrow. Until something is conquered here. I learned something now. And so, one thing I like to know about the devil, so I said in my notes, battles are lost or won, are lost or won in the mind. Now, there's something I want to talk about devil today. Was it on this? How to keep devil away from you, from your family, from your affairs, from your anything. One thing I would like you to note about the devil is, anyway, I don't know why I should say this. Look up. I said something last week. I want to repeat it again. We don't come to church to learn about the devil. Remember I said that? Okay. But Paul said something. Paul said we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. So we are not studying the devil. We are actually learning our victory over him. Are you getting the point now? Now, one thing I want you to see about the devil is that he works with tricks. I told you it punches your mind, right? He works with tricks. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to do what? To stand against what? Come on, stand against what? This one said wires. What do you want to use? Strategies. Which one? What else? Schemes. Wow. The Greek of that wiles is methodeia. It's methodeia. It means trickery. The wiles, the schemes, the strategies of the devil. So you are beginning to learn how the devil functions. The primary operation of the devil is not actually power. It's schemes. I see this now. It's schemes. He works with tricks. Sometimes it functions. In 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, he said, Peter was talking. He said, your enemy, the devil. He said, be sober, be vigilant, for your enemy, the devil, does what? Walks around as a roaring lion. So he disguises himself. So he will not, he's not a lion, but he will walk as. You see the trick again. He walks with tricks, schemes, pretense. He walks as. So he will not come out. So actually, so that's why you see people, because we get that today. You see people exalting satanic power. Why? He walks as a roaring lion. There's only one lion I know. That's of the tribe of Judah. Are you getting the point? Every other one is walking as a lion. And that's the game he's playing in your life. You walk as a lion. And then fear starts. Second Corinthians 2 verse 11. Second Corinthians 2 verse 11. He says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his what? Devices. You see that word again? So he works with devices, strategies, plans, deception, trickery. We are not ignorant of these. The device of the enemy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 again and verse 14, Paul puts it this way. He said, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. This is the skill. That's how the devil functions. He pretends to be what he's not. He comes with lies. He comes with tricks. Jesus made it so clear. We saw it last week. John 8 verse 44. He said he's the father of all liars. I think it was Message Bible that said, when he speaks a lie, he speaks his native language. That is the devil. He presents schemes, deceptions, tricks, lies to you. So the first attack the devil will actually launch against a man is not to attack his health. Before his health is attacked, his heart has been attacked. Do you get the point? He launches some tricks. Once he falls here, his health will be attacked. Are you learning this now? It's not the first attack the devil will launch wouldn't be to attack your job or your finance. He will come with his strategy, lies, tricks, metedoya, what are they? Wiles, strategies. He will come to your heart. And so you notice people keep the devil close to them by what they do with their thoughts. That's one key way. I said it last week. People keep the devil around them. And I'll show you in the Bible shortly. By what they, so he launches an attack. So that's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are mighty through God. To the pulling down, first of all, of strongholds, imaginations, things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God in your heart. So before using that weapon to fight the devil, to do midnight prayer, let me tell you. You know, you've noticed sometimes midnight prayers don't work. Especially if you are praying against the devil. And that's not because the devil is too powerful. It's because the people have lost the battle in their mind already. Now, I'll show you like 1, 2, 3. Let's say 3. 3, 4. Okay, 4. Leave the rest for next week. I'll show you like 4 things you will notice the devil will be launching against the heart of your heart. And once he conquers you with peace, everything is gone. First of all, 2 Corinthians 11. I'll show you. 2 Corinthians 2 rather. Forgive me. 2 Corinthians 2. It's funny that the same writer we go to learn of in Christ realities is the same person that is writing about the devil. I get him. He was writing about the victory we have over the devil. And 2 Corinthians 2. There's a story that I don't want you to miss. I would have gone to verse 11, but let's look at the story from verse 6. He said, sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. Look up. The background story is, there was a man in 1 Corinthians. Do you remember that man? A man in 1 Corinthians that was living anyhow. He slept with, he was sleeping with his father's wife. Remember? Uh-huh. And he was careless with it. He was careless about it. He didn't care. I told you, when you see discipline most times in the church, people are not disciplined, if you check the scriptures, because of sin, technically. It's always because of their attitude towards the sin. You get the point? Paul told them in 1 Corinthians 5, he said, I heard a man living his father's wife, and you people are even bold about it. So I could imagine this man and his father's wife coming on uniform to church, you know, and they sit together, enjoy themselves, you know, they give testimony, and it was a normal thing. So Paul, in 1 Corinthians 5, he said, deliver such a person to Satan. Ladies and gentlemen, that does not mean to bring somebody out and give him to the devil. I have a teaching on that. Check discipline. We have a teaching on discipline. It actually, Satan there, is not even talking about the devil. When he talks about Satan, anyway, leave all that. It means, all he meant was, separate yourself from the person, that the person may learn. So kind of they showed him that it was a case of, if this girl is sinning and she doesn't care about it, the church should put up an attitude to show that we are not in support of what she's doing. Okay? She will not enter the room and see her with a guy and will say, ha, we are enjoying herself. No, we won't do that. So Paul now said they should do this. They should separate themselves from him. So in this guy is now overdid the thing. Do you get the point? He now came to the 2 Corinthians 2. Now come back to where we are. He said, sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. So he was begging them. So that contrariwise you ought to forgive him and comfort him, lest such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Are you getting this now? So call him back. Okay? Therefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes, forgive I it in the person of Christ. Now verse 7. Lest Satan should get what? For. So he said, put the brother back. If you don't, Satan will take advantage of this situation. What will he do in the situation? Verse 7. So that contrariwise you ought to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with what? Overmuch sorrow. He's talking about guilt. Are you getting this now? If they didn't call him back, the person would have been swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. That's guilt, condemnation. So Paul refers to condemnation in verse 11 as a device of the enemy, as a device of Satan. Overmuch sorrow. That is one of the very first things that Satan will launch to your heart. Guilt. Condemnation. Is a trick of the devil. I get the point. In fact, listen to friends, it is more powerful than sick than even a cripple. Being crippled. It's more powerful than being crippled. It's one trick he will send. Once you fall for this, he manipulates you and he can inflict you with several other things. Once you fall for condemnation. I get the point. Once you fall for guilt. Listen, this is one major thing. If you study the Old Testament, this is one major thing that happened in the Old Testament. They were conquered with guilt in their hearts. Sin consciousness was alive in them. So you will see them. That's why everything that happened was because they had a wrong perception. They believed God was angry with us. So if they didn't call this guy back, he would have started thinking, maybe God is angry with me. Okay, let me say this to you. Why did Judas kill himself? Guilt. I don't know if I've gotten to that place in building Jesus. I was talking about it. Do you know Peter and Judas committed almost the same thing? Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter denied Jesus once, twice. The third time he took an oath. He said, I swear, if I know you, let me die. I don't get the point. Down the history lane, Peter becomes an apostle. Judas hung himself. Because once the devil conquers your heart with guilt, go to the hospital. Many people that are in the hospital. This is the issue. A psychologist once said many people are in the hospital today because they think God is angry with them. And so when you make a mistake, it comes with guilt in your heart. And you know, you begin to kill yourself. Can I tell you, friends, Jesus has paid for your sins. He has forgiven your sins. If I let me say this, whether you like it or yes, he forgave your sins in advance. You don't understand. Before you committed the sin, in fact, before you were born, he had died and paid for the sins you've not even committed. Do you point? So why would I live in condemnation? Whenever the devil reminds you of sin, anytime the devil reminds you of a mistake you've made, you need to remind him that God has forgotten it. He said, I will blot out your transgression. He said, I will remember your sins no more. In simple terms, it means I will forgive you and forget it. Friends, God keeps no record of sins. He doesn't. But when you allow your heart to be conquered with guilt, every other thing can start functioning. You cannot even exercise your dominion over the devil. I told you guys the story. They were to conduct deliverance. They gathered around this girl. They were singing. You know, you've seen that kind of thing? Ayao, ayao. You didn't know, you don't know it. You guys are born into the church. You know it. So they were singing around this girl. And again, I started laughing. And looked at them and said, see, sinners. I'm telling you, the devil, this is his game. I began to give them, you, see, these are, you're even in them. I'm serious. And pointed person, even the person you went to, and she was correct. Whether it's word of knowledge or word from knowledge, she was correct. So immediately they heard it, one, the coordinator now said, let us kneel down and confess our sins. I'm telling you. And they knelt down, the girl was standing as the minister in their midst. And that was the game. But I told you guys of another story too. You remember? The guy went to pray for a madman. The madman played the same game. It's the trick of the devil. Either he plays it physically or he plays it in your heart. The madman told him, see you. But he said the madman, everything he said was correct. You that needed money, you told your father you needed 10,000. It was only 8,000. He said you should pay in school. You are coming to cast me out. Come on. In fact, he now said, the man said, as he drew back, the madman picked up a stone. I said, you people should come and help me remove this man, unless I'll kill him here. I'm telling you. And he was outside, everybody was watching. But he was coming from church. Yeah? He said, the next thing that struck his head was, he now looked, okay, you are very correct. You are very correct. Okay, but I'm not standing here on my righteousness. He said, I stand on the righteousness of my elder brother. Immediately he said that. He said, the stone dropped from the madman's hand. You know, confidence will now come back. You get the point? He faced the devil. When the devil conquers your heart with guilt, every other game is lost. He comes to your family, and you want to pray to you. And sometimes, the guilt sometimes is even, sometimes it's, when last did you pray? You want to cast me out? You that, you look at your prayer life. I was somewhere, I told you guys this story. I had an experience, this girl, or this guy, met me. You know these people that I used to meet you and say, sir, I'm going to so place, I need money. So I saw the guy, small boy. I pitied him, said my auntie locked the house and left. You know those kind of things. I gave him money. 200 naira, take back. He said, the 900, I said, take back. So I was coming back at night. I saw this boy again in another location. I saw that the same story. And I held him. I said, are you not the one that I saw in the afternoon? He said, Oga, because sorry, Oga. You know, look at this story. I held him and I'm shouted at him badly. I shouted at him. I said, stop this. Come on, go home. So he left and went home. So I now started going. As I was now on my way home, the Holy Ghost spoke to me, not the devil now. I wanted to see the game. The Holy Ghost spoke to me, was like, you would have ministered to that guy. You would have ministered salvation to him. You get the point? And I said, wow, it's true. You get the point? I should have preached to this guy. And then I said that, the devil now took over. You've lost a soul. What if that boy has an accident on the way now and that? I'm telling you, for more than 30 minutes, it was going on in my mind. Just imagine how the devil is now interested in salvation. Just to keep you down with guilt. I get what I'm saying. You must know this game. You must know this game. I've acknowledged that I didn't do well. I should have ministered to him. That was what God told me. After that, God said to me, you see, the first thing I told you was me. Everything you're hearing now is not me. I'd acknowledge, you get the point. When I sin, I know it is wrong. Okay? Every other thing that comes after that, how you a failure, how look at what you did, they hold you, you disappointed God, surrender yourself, you're an embarrassment to your generation. Every other thing is no longer God speaking. And if you fall for that, bring it down a little. I went to pray. A lady came, I've told this story. She came, she needed a child. So, okay, she already had a child, but she needed a male child. It was, I had her first daughter that brought her. She was in my ministry, she was about 15. Take home, when he prays for you, you have a child. So she came to the house. So I just stood up to pray, and then I saw in the spirit, I saw her. Her youthful days was messy, you know. A lot of stuff happened. Abortion, what have you. So I told her, look at what I'm seeing. She shouted, broke down, started crying. He said, I've always known that this is why. It's not like I don't know. What will I do? I've gone for confession. I've done this. I've done that. She started listing and listing and listing. Do you know why? That's why she has not had a child. Because every other thing, the battle has been lost in her heart. I get the point. He keeps you down with guilt. I told her, sister, God has forgiven you. In fact, that day what I did, because I know there was no way I could teach her for how to understand at that point. And two, I didn't even have much knowledge then. So I now used my anointing. And I said, shh. God said, the same way God told me about the issue, God said you are forgiven. You know she will believe it faster. Because I did, Shamamama, when I did. I just say, ah, shh. Yes. It's gone. It's done. It's forgiven. She believed that she had she got pregnant the next month. Because once, if she had kept herself down, that's why I don't have a child. Maybe, you know, and they tell you, you've aborted all your good children. Stop that. That is nonsense. It's nonsense. Tola told me she saw a vision where she was climbing to heaven. She was ascending to heaven, and she saw small children at the gate of heaven saying, you will not enter here. You killed one of us. What nonsense? Where did you learn that nonsense? Who taught you that? How can you even, why are you acting nolly with you? How can you believe that nonsense? And I saw a video online yesterday. One of those ladies that came up and said she died and went to heaven. You know that girl? That one of those ladies. She came out again to confess yesterday that she did not die anything. If I can share it to you, it's all over YouTube. That she's sorry, that we should forgive her. I said, can you imagine? And this is what has sponsored guilt all over the body of Christ. Some believe the and that's why you go to, you want to receive your healing or you want to have a child, they pass you through deliverance. So see, deal with guilt in your heart. The God you serve is kind, even to the unthankful. Even to the evil, even to the man that cut his ear, he healed the person. That is your God. So he doesn't look at your sins. Guilt is not a reason. So once guilt conquers your heart, every other thing is gone. The second thing you will notice, 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. He said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Friends, fear is not of God. Fear is of the devil. One of the greatest shortages of the devil in the heart of man is fear. It's fear. Sometimes fear of the unknown. I was ministering somewhere and I saw a lady in the spirit. She was feeling she was going to die. So I called her. She said yes. I said, why? She said she doesn't even know. Then she would just be walking. She would send somebody following her behind. She would turn. She wouldn't see the person. Has it ever happened to you? And then a prophet said, if that's happening to you, that's the spirit of death following you. And that was it. If I had left that girl the next 1 week, from what I saw in the spirit, she would have died. I don't know how she would have died, but she would have died. Because fear is not of God. Look at Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3. How did whatever that happened to Job happen to him? Job chapter 3 and verse 24. He said, for my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is common to me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Can you see Job's state before he became sick? He said, I was not at rest. I was afraid. So Job was obviously scared of losing the children he lost. Are you getting this now? That's why, look at Job 1. Go to chapter 1. I'll show you this. This might shake up some things, but just look at it. Are you there? Okay. Verse 5. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them, or talking about his children. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus, though Job did continually. So every day, Job would pray and sanctify his children because he was scared that they might have sinned. I don't get a point. So he was obviously scared of the kids messing up. So when it was time, when God now said, okay, tempt him, that was what the devil exploited. I don't get a point. If there was no fear towards that in his heart, it wouldn't happen to him. So he said, what I feared most, he said, look at verse 26, he said, I was restless throughout, and yet trouble came. I'll look at that verse in the next point. So when once fear conquers your heart, so it's a trick of the devil. That's why you understand first chapter 5 verse 8. He said he walks around like a... So why would he walk like that? To make you think he is what he is not, fear would come. That's why in most circles today, Satan is more exalted than Jesus. I'm telling you, opening prayer in the name of Jesus, let's thank God. After we thank God, confess your sins. Of course, you're beginning to exalt the devil again. Sins just have paid for. Anyway, if you don't understand that one, leave it. Then after confessing your sins, lift your right hand. Every demon. And that is what we will pray. We came after we went for 6 hours prayers. What happened? We were talking about the devil for 5 good hours. How was the prayer powerful? We're exalting the devil. Manufacturing demons that don't exist. Kangaroo spirit, monkey spirit, demon from up. There's something I've not heard. I'm serious. And it's because, it's because native doctors entered the church. Or some that came from all these places, they came. So there's now book of incantation. We call it book of prayer. Book of war. Incantation. What do you do? You open it. Read it 7 times. Every demon on the way. Some assault and die. Every demon. That's incantation. What do you think is incantation again? That's what native doctors do. Is it not true? And we are promoting fear. That's why. So Job was praying for his children. But his prayers were sponsored by fear. So half of the prayers we pray in the church today, people are afraid. I told you, the viper fastened on Paul's hand. He shook it off into the fire. He didn't even pray. You get the point? That's when the word of God grows in your heart, sometimes you know beyond knowledge that nothing will happen. I don't get the point. Look how I see. When the devil wants to do anything, now let me tell you how to walk over all this. When the devil wants to do anything, the first thing he will do is to fill your heart with fear towards that thing. He wants to kill your child. He begins to initiate, what if this child dies? Listen, he's going to school now every morning. And what people don't know, what they will notice is they become more careful. They will now say, I'll be taking you to school. You get the point? You will no longer walk to school. I'll take you. They become more careful. That is the time to rebuke the devil. He wants to do something. He wants to win you here first. They begin to respond to the fear. Are you getting something now? You begin to carry the child to school. You know, I say, no, you no longer trek to school. All of it is good. You're traveling on the highway. You say, what if? Just what if accidents happen? And suddenly you see one accident scene. You say, hey, Jesus. Jesus. You know, you are allowing something in here. And once you lose here, every other thing is lost. Are you getting me? So that's why Paul says, we're not ignorant of his devices. We know what he does. We know how he plays. So whenever I see fear, I tell people that is normal fear, you know. You can be scared normally, I hope you know. For instance, if you're standing and I come to your back and I say, you'll be scared. The normal things. Somebody scared you.
But whenever you notice fear creeping in unnecessarily,
that is the activity of deep. Satan wants to exert his influence over some cases. I get the point. Take your authority. It's not hard to find.
That's why the oppression of the devil is not actually in when you see something wearing black. Everything goes on here. Let me say this to you. How many of you know that when Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus did not see the devil. Hope you know.
I know sometimes you think when the temptation came, the devil just walked in. Use your head.
The Bible said, talking about Jesus, he said he was at all times tempted as we were.
Have you seen it in the Bible?
So the same way he was tempted is how we are tempted. Have you ever seen the devil? So that is that temptation of Jesus happened the same way your own happens. You get the point? It happened in his heart. So where did the devil come?
He was in.
So it's a very understandable thing. He finished fasting. He was hungry. He saw bread. I mean, he saw stone. You know, it's a normal thing. So it was going on in his mind. How did Jesus overcome it? We look at that letter. He said.
Are you seeing it now?
So the thing will go on in his mind. He will say. So when fear comes, you say, I don't walk in fear. Are you getting me? I walk in boldness. You know, you can totally keep the devil away from your household. That's why there are families here that exist under the influence of the devil. Many of them are being controlled by fear. Some of you, next time you get home, you have to call your people and tell them that there is no cause to be afraid. Teach them the word. Are you getting the point? If not, you will see the devil having his feast in your house. And you say, are we praying? We've been praying. We invited every man of God. Sometimes the man of God come and spawn some of fear. I'm not telling you what I've not seen. I spawn some of fear and collect your money. Collect your money. You know, when fear comes, we demonize everything. You know what I mean? You demonize everything. There are natural occurrences. Just demonize it. A rat passes your house. It's the devil. You don't read your book and you fail. It's the devil. You demonize everything around you. And that's welcome to Africa. Everything is demonized. You know, somebody came. You know when I made a post on MMM? Remember the days of MMM? So people argued over it and what. But then came to me recently and said, you see, MMM have crashed. I said, I was not saying it was not going to crash. I only said it's not demonic. You heard it was demonic. Somebody said it was demonic. If you got any money through MMM, return it. We demonize everything. So you now see the game. You know the devil is tricky. You now call MMM money today. Just is it, I never did MMM. I didn't do it for once. So is it PH and So you now got help. I'm right. Money just entered your account, and then suddenly as you're about to leave the place, you just notice slight headache. You remember. That's why if you're going to keep your devil away from, I said it last week, mind what goes in. Because that's how you sponsor fear. You now remember, Kai, maybe this headache is because Kai. That man of God was right. I heard men of God were even calling out people, if you're in MMM, come out, we'll deliver you, we'll lay hands on you. I said, what nonsense. If you don't like MMM, because I don't like get rich quick schemes, I don't like some of those schemes. So if you don't like it, say you don't like it. There's nothing demonic about it. I get to the point. People are just deceiving people. I just fooling. It was deception. At the end of the day, it wasn't demonic. So what I'm saying is this. You expose yourself to the devil, but you expose yourself to fears. Say, I don't walk in fear. Say, I walk in faith. Once again, say, I walk in faith. Now, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. Let's look at something again. So first, we must deal with guilt in our hearts. Second, we must deal with fears in our hearts. And I'll show you how. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. This will come in handy, what I'm about to read now. Especially when you're going to preach to people. Quoted it before, I'm reading again. He said, in whom the God of this world
had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So how does the devil operate in the hearts of unbelievers? He blinds their heart. What's that blindness of heart? That blindness of heart is unbelief. You get the point? He makes them walk in unbelief. So when you are teaching or you are doing whatever, the person also wants that. The devil is keeping him in unbelief. Do you know the truth? For many believers too, he does this to them. Not actually unbelief as per Jesus is Lord. They're already saved. But unbelief as per many other things. Many believers don't live in faith. So you see doubt all over the place. You see what? Once you begin to walk in doubt. You remember James chapter 1, verse 5. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask for, remember, that give it to all men, willingly and upbraided not. And I said, but let not that man think he shall receive anything of God. How many of you remember that? Let not that man think. He said, which man? He said, the double-minded man. So, one of the gifts of the devil is doubt in the hearts of men. So, we're preaching about the power of God. He'll be telling you, that's why you can come to a miracle service. After everything, you still walk home sick. Why? Something has happened here. It wasn't God that did not want to heal you. You allowed doubt to creep in. So it's a game of the devil to keep you in doubt. He doesn't want you to stay in faith. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. So you see worry, you see doubt, you see unbelief. These are games of the devil. Worry particularly is a game of the devil. Jesus was talking about worry one day. He said, I want to ask you a question, and I want to ask you that question. He said, how many of you have by worrying added one? Ask yourself, how what difference has your worry ever made? So we stay up all night, we are thinking, we are worrying, the devil is having his way. That after we finish worrying, we now start praying. You've lost the battle. I don't even get the point. After you finish worrying, now start praying. Satan never does want to be in faith. Look at what, go back to Job 3. We're going to take it from like three translations and then we'll proceed. Are you in Job 3? Just one verse, verse 26. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. This was what Job was doing. Another translation. He said, continue. He said, I had no peace, I had no rest, I had no quietness. So look at the state Job was before the trouble came. So can you see that it was Job that allowed the devil entrance into his home? How? I had no peace, I had no quietness, I was troubled throughout. And look at, I like how King James put it. King James said, yet trouble came. So maybe Job thought by all those things, okay, but you know, when you are too careful. Pastor Joseph Prince told a story one day. He said, when he was raising, he gave birth to, you know, he had two kids. I don't know whether we have another one, sure. Just, you know, but he had Jessica for long. He said, he's so much like this girl. You know her, know him, he's so much like the girl that every message, Jessica. And it was showing. He said he was walking in fear and worry over the girl. If he comes back from work or from anywhere and sees one stain or one scratch, he will break, but he will even correct with the wife. He said one day God told him, he said, do you think you care about this child more than I do? He didn't say what, he said, let go. He didn't say, you think when God said let go, it was that easy to say, okay, I let go. It's a fight you have to win. I get the point. What if he kept living in worry? What if Jennifer enters this, all these high school children? And that's what's happening to many parents today. And they now voice it out. What they give birth to the child? Each of you, maybe. You want to spoil. Even your father spoiling. Pastors' children. Because they've been told, pastors have been told that pastors' children used to spoil too much. As they're giving birth to them, they're already living in fear that this child will spoil. They now apply strict measures. Don't leave the house. Even where the child would have gone to get help, they stop it. I'm telling you what I've seen. Sometimes program is coming up. Program tell you attend, I'll be helped. He say no. You want to go and spoil. You want to go and join all those girls, yeah? See, now you now come and start wearing short skirts. Fear all over the place, worry, doubt. And finally, child will spoil. No, because you go spoil, go spoil. It's not true. Don't mind. Praise God. But point is, you don't let the devil in. So look at what Paul said, be careful for nothing. Don't ever say, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Like, you know, he just, Paul was saying, live a carefree life. Is that a careless life, yeah? Sometimes, don't allow some things hold, as in keep you down for long. Like, what if, don't get yourself worked up. You don't have a job, there is a way to react to it. If you live in worry, you will not have it. Because even when the interview is coming, you are running in with worry. I didn't get the point. There's a way to react. Look how he said, be careful for nothing now. If you're careful for nothing, what should you do? In everything, by prayer and supplication. With what? Look at this. Look at this. By what? Prayer and with. So how do you pray? You pray from a point of thanksgiving. So it's a prayer where there is no worry. You're actually thanking God because what you have asked for, he has given it to you. I'm learning this now. So when you keep worry out of your life, you've kept the devil in his place. So you deal with guilt, you deal with fear. I'll still show you how when we'll be closing. You deal with guilt, deal with fear, deal with worry, deal with doubt, deal with unbelief. Swelling up in your heart. Keep all these things off. Keep it off. I'm learning this. Keep it off. So the devil first launches his attack in your heart before he launches it physically. So like I say, we lend our authority and our will to the devil before he functions. So when the devil, all he's trying to do is agree to what I'm saying. How do you agree? You become guilty. How do you agree? You begin to walk in fear. How do you agree? You get worried. Somebody told me whenever I see dreams, it must happen. And I asked that question. I said, is it whenever you see dreams or whenever you see bad dreams? She said, yes, it's bad dream. Because I've seen dream where I had money. It did not happen. I said, do you know why? I said, because you accepted the dream. You accepted it. He said, how? But I rebuked it when I woke up. I said, you accepted it by rebuking it. So, you know, sometimes I wake up from some dreams, I sigh and sleep back. I had a meeting some time ago, long ago. I finished the meeting. There was so much that malversation of God's power. So I had severe headache. I thought it was stress. One day passed, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. It lingered for long. And so I prayed, declared I had my healing and all that. Then I slept off. I wanted to sleep off and I had a trance. Look at this trance. Now in that trance, I walked into a room. And then ten girls on black wrapper. You know Nigerian film. They were on black wrapper. There was powder on their face. So they now came out. Three of them from the ten, was a vision, walked out and said, Pastor Henry, Evangelist Henry, or Bro Henry, whatever they call you. Three of us have been mandated, listen to this, to make sure that you do not fulfill your, in fact, you do not live your life to the fullest. They said issued a lot of threats. And even they finished it, I sprang up from my bed. Guess what I did? I sighed and slept back. I didn't pray. One. Sometimes when you begin to pray, you just said, I receive. I'm not saying pray. I get the premise I'm coming from. Sometimes when you begin to pray, I didn't even believe it could happen. Stop who? I've never started life. People want to stop the life. That I didn't even pray. I just slept back. And a lot of other visions started flowing. And that was the end. So most times when you allow this, I thought that it's because you see the dream, you wake up, you begin to bind. Why are you binding? Because you believe something is coming. I said, when you wake up from the dreams where you had money, what do? You even believe it will not happen. Say, guy, all these dreams, sha. Especially if what you got was $1 million. You say, Enriba. You get the point? It's there. So you accept or you reject by heart. And finally, I'm going to talk about something. One major trick of the devil, and I'm closing with this intentionally, because it's something you need to do. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 26. He said, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So how do I give place to the devil? If I allow the sun go down on my anger, I call it bitterness. Sorry. James chapter 3. James 3. Now, James 3, verse 14. Paul said, do not allow the sun. He said, go down on your anger and don't give a place to the devil. So, when I allow the sun, go down on my anger. In other words, what it means, when I'm angry with someone and I let it stay for long, I am giving place to the devil. I'll show you this. Are you in James 3? Okay, verse 14. It says, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Verse 15. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Let's read verse 17 together. Verse 16 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Where envy and strife is, there is confusion and what? Every evil work. Now, I'm going to talk about this because this is where people say there is temptation. When you are hot against someone and you keep it down for long, it will not be long. The devil will begin to play games in your heart. And you can even take steps you never knew you could take. Remember I told you this. Remember, you know that Ammon and Tamar story? Remember? Ammon slept with Tamar. Ammon, Abi, slept with Tamar. Now, this Tamar girl was his stepsister. Absalom's sister, Abi. Yes, Absalom's sister. So, when Absalom heard it, normally, how were you expecting you have reacted? You raped my younger sister. That said, Absalom did not say anything. Kept quiet. 1 month, 2 months, 6 months, 8 months, 1 year, 1 year, 6 months, 2 years later, he invited Amnon to a feast and killed him. That's how bitterness is. You allow evil works in your heart. I know what I'm saying. When you allow bitterness to stay. I told somebody, I said, do you know you can poison somebody? He said, it's not possible. I said, just allow bitterness to stay. This is witchcraft 101. That's how you become a witch. When someone hurts you, just allow it to stay. Don't let go of it. I get the point. You are allowing every evil work. Before you know, say it's the devil that left. It's not the devil. It's the devil that made me do it. I didn't plan to do it like that. It's not the devil. Okay, it's the devil, Sha. But how you allowed bitterness. So wherever there is envy, there is bitterness, there is every evil work. I'm saying this now. There's every evil work. There's every evil work. Today, because I know why God gave me this word. Most families are breaking up today and are at the verge of breaking up. We see the devil doing things in most families. And that's not because of anything. It's because of what I'm talking about. They used bitterness to invite the devil into their family. Businesses are crashing today because of this. Because they use bitterness. So when a man hurts the wife, he will not settle it. They sweep it under the carpet. You sweep it under the carpet. 2 years. One day, you just wake up and say, I want a divorce. From where? I don't get the point. These people were in love. Sometimes when you see pre-wedding pics, you just know they were in love. But they allowed every evil work to thrive. I'm saying it now. They allowed every evil work to thrive. So how did the devil enter this family, this spirit family? Envy. Why do children spoil today, some children? This same thing I'm telling you. The bitterness is in the heart of the man or in the heart of the child. And they pour it on the child most times. And then it builds. So if that is, I want to say, if this is one way to keep the devil out of, God said I should introduce this. This is one way to keep the devil out of your relationships. I'm talking about your relationship with your pastor, with your boss, with your spouse, with your best friend, with anything. If you want the devil in, allow bitterness to stay. I'm not saying someone will not hurt you. I'm not saying you should not be angry, but sin not. How do many companies are selling about today? They start together. Before you know, the company will go down to nothing. Why? Something strife entered in between them. They say it's the devil. It's the devil, obviously. But how did they let him in? They let him in by strife. Are you learning this now? So if you want to kill the devil out of your marriage, out of your family, out of your business, out of your school, out of your relationship generally, deal with bitterness. And somebody say, how? Well, if I should tell you how I deal with bitterness, I talk about it. If you are knowing me today, you will hear from me today. I will tell you. I'm just telling you, I will tell you, you hurt me. You don't expect me to start. I won't even miss what about it. Okay, I may say it in a way that it will not hurt you, but you will know. And once I'm done telling you, it's gone. I don't get the point. That is the problem. Why many relationships are crashing today? Now, I know sometimes God can lead you to end the relationship. But do you know, friends, there are some relationships I've seen. I'm a pastor. I pastor young people. There are some relationships I've seen. When they come, I'm so convinced in my heart that God wants this to be. The girl spiritual, the guy spiritual, everything. They're even flowing well. Some of them in 6 months' time is gone. I get the point. Bitterness. I know one thing about bitterness. I told you, when you allow bitterness to stay, it will get to a time you will hate someone for, you will not even know why you hate the person. I told you. But when they say, what did that girl do to you? Say, what did she not even do? You can't remember again. What did she not do? Is it how she took my sale pass? Or is she how she uses my makeup? What did she not do? At the end of the day, find out all the things you are mentioning are just small issues. But how come they are big in your eyes now? Small issues built up into this. I get what I'm saying. So if you want the devil out of a relationship, deal with strife, deal with bitterness. If you are still here, say amen. So now, if I'm going to wind this down, I'll say, keep your mind. Say, let's repeat that scripture we saw last week. That's how we're going to close. Proverbs 4, verse 23. If I remove guilt from my life, I remove fear from my life, I remove worry, I remove doubt, I remove unbelief, I am telling the devil to keep up. If I deal with bitterness in my relationship, I've given the devil a boundary. Do you know there was a place the Bible said that husbands should love their wives and forgive them so that their prayers will not be hindered? Have you seen it in the Bible? I'm telling you, in the case of family, husband and wife, imagine I'm angry, I'm hot with my holding as you are praying. Say it should be hindered. So we allow the devil to play around the relationships because you are allowing some things to conquer our thoughts. Someone hurts you. You know Jesus said something. You know that Jesus said, I like how Jesus writes. He said, if you are carrying your gifts to the altar, listen, and you remember, not that you hurt somebody, but that your neighbor has something against you, it's not you that hurts the person. I see this now. If you remember that your neighbor, he said, drop the gift and God make peace. He was emphasizing this. So you forgive people as Christ has forgiven you. How did Christ forgive you? Christ forgave you before you asked for forgiveness. So your forgiving people should not be dependent on their apology. Come on, I see what I'm saying now. It should not be dependent on their apology. It should be dependent on the fact that you're a forgiving person. Hallelujah. Proverbs 23. We're going to read it together to open it. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Are you there? Okay, if you are there, say amen. Let it together. 1, 2, 3, go. You remember how NLT put it? What's NLT again? Okay, read. For it determines the course of your life. He said, guard your heart. Because your heart determines the direction of your life. Do you see this now? So if I allow guilt to stay, if I allow fear to stay in here, it determines how my life will go. It determines what I let in. So you can keep the devil at a distance. You can keep the devil at that distance. You can tell him, don't cross that line. He wouldn't cross. How? Watch what you let in. So listen to me, friends. Stay away from that friend, that church, that pastor, even if it is me, that promotes guilt and fear in your heart. Stay away from that person. You know what I'm saying? That pastor, as even if it is me, that when you are done coming to church, you don't recognize. Have you ever gone to church and you came back worse than you were? Stay away. That promotes fear in your heart. Stay away from such people. Guard your heart with all diligence. For it will determine the course of your life. It will determine whether you will get a job or not. It will determine, it's not God holding back. Are you getting this now? It's not God holding back saying you will not get this job. It's because you've allowed some things to enter your heart. Some have told you there is no job anywhere in this country. You guard your heart. So the devil will, so do you observe? The devil acts on the information you have. You get the point? So if what is filling your heart is the word of God, there is nothing he can act on. Do you understand what I'm saying? If there is no guilt anywhere, there is no fear anywhere, there is nothing you can act on. Can I announce to you, there is no failure anywhere in your life. No failure anywhere. Don't give him things to act on. So fill your heart with the word. And one major way, like I said last week, just talk the word. Keep the word before you. So when I sense, what if when I sense guilt coming, let me talk about guilt now. I've prayed, I've confessed it. You know, the devil is wicked. In fact, let me tell you, the devil is not as powerful as he is tricky. Do you understand? He's not as powerful as he is deceptive. Do you know a girl told me? She might see this tape later. She might hear, listen to this tape. She told me she because she's a minister now, doing very well. She came to me, she made a mistake. You know the popular mistake that singles make? You don't know. Okay. So she made a mistake. She felt so bad. And so she what was the first one? Can I remember? She gave money, yes. She went to the bank, gave all her money to the church, so that God will see that she's a serious person. She made a mistake again. When she made a mistake again, she said, she went to the mountain and stayed there for days to show God. I'm not telling you, I'm telling you a life story. She's a minister today. Any day she will come here, she might even tell you the story. Because I helped her. But what happened? She was someone that grew up under our ministry. And you know now, we stopped hearing from her. She left for long. And now started, you know now, traveling from church to church. Ministry to ministry. So she came back. So she was telling me she made this mistake. Now, after that, this particular experience, she now made another mistake. I think, I'm not sure I'm getting this crazy. Okay, she went to the school. She was in a school. She promised God that for God to forgive her, she was going to enter all the classrooms in the school to preach. To show God that she was serious. She did it. She made the mistake again. This time, that was when I now met her. She shaved her hair. I'm telling you, she said, she removed her wig, said, sir, I shaved everything. For God to know I'm serious, say, sir, what I've done it again. I tell you, even do it again if you go back now. The devil is there in her heart. So when you notice yourself in this kind of youth, what do? Stay on the word. It is time to visit the website. Get messages. Listen, get messages like the believer's identity. Stay on it. His death and resurrection, the message, part 1-6. Before you are done, your brain will reset. Part 1, 2 hours. Part 2. Before you are done, that devil would have left your head. I promise you. This is the time to listen. So you fill your heart, and when you are hearing them, you are saying them, I'm righteous in Christ. I'm forgiven in Christ. Are you getting me? There is no guilt anywhere in my life. When you notice fear in your life, declare the word of God. I will not let the devil in. I will not let him have his way. I take my place. So the devil is not omnipresent. You keep him where you want him to be. And now where I want the devil to be is out of my life. Are you getting the point? Where I want him to be is far from my academics. Where I want him to be is far from my relationship. That's where he's going to be. Are you getting me? He can't move beyond that place. Bible said, temptation of Jesus. I'll close with this. Sorry. The children of Jesus, Bible said, after those thoughts came, I explained now with the thoughts, right? After they came to the house of Jesus, the first time he said, march and leave our bread alone. The second time, the third one, when he came, he said, get behind me, Satan. Bible said, and Satan left him. that also is not a free will. He left him. Are you getting this now? So I can tell the devil where I want him to be. When he comes with worry in your heart, what if this is it? Just open your mouth and speak. There is no worry anywhere in my life. I know this is going to fall through. When he disturbs you about your children, then I know these kids are going to do well. Are you getting me? When he disturbs you about your academics, come on, you don't even fall for that one. In fact, even unbelievers are passing in their studies. Is it now you that will fail? If as unbelievers that don't know John 3:16 are passing. So when he brings that up, you tell him no. I know what to do. I understand when I read. I am not confused. Are you getting me? When he brings financial issues, look, notice when he's bringing these thoughts, he has not yet done it. He is seeking your permission to do it. Are you understand what I'm saying? He's seeking your, he's saying, allow me. So you allow him by what you say, what you don't say. But I know what to do. Now I know better. Are you getting the point? I will keep him far away from my life. There is no devil anywhere in my life. Are you getting me? There's no devil anywhere. So I speak words of faith. I will not empower demons in my life. I won't do it by words. I won't. So my heart is saying, as I say me, my heart is saying that things I keep away. So when they begin to come, I start. So, do you know, I tell my friends sometimes when it comes, I told you last week, when it fills your heart like that, leave the parlor, enter the room, lock the door, start shouting. I am telling you, start shouting. I walk in victory. That is no fear. Start shouting. Forget them. They used to play songs, eh? Start shouting. I walk in victory. Begin to speak the opposite of what you are hearing in your heart. Because you remember, the devil is always the father of all liars. So everything he tells you is a lie. Do you get the point? So when he speaks the lie, speak the truth. The truth is the word of God. Hallelujah. It's the word of God. I don't walk in lack. I walk in abundance. Everything I need is provided. I don't walk in sickness. I walk in divine health. Are you getting the point? I walk in divine health. I have prosperity. God wants me to prosper and I'm prosperous. Are you getting me? Everything I touch flourishes. There is no death anywhere in my life. The lies have fallen onto me. It pleases and blesses. I have a good heritage. Are you getting me? You continue saying it like that. You continue. Don't give him a chance. Just talk. Just talk. Just talk. Just talk. There are thoughts of defeat. I am victorious in Christ. I am victorious in Christ. I am victorious in Christ. Come and stand your feet wherever you are. We are victorious in Christ. We are free indeed. Yeah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.